Today, markets caught between trade war downdraft and AI hype. Look out below. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. Global markets were floored from recent highs on Friday by a powerful 1-2 punch from the latest US employment data and US tariffs slapped on dozens of countries. The presidential order listed higher import duty rates of somewhere between 10 to 41% starting in the week's time for 69 trading partners, taking the US's effective tariff rate to above 17% from 2.3% last year. And July's job data disappointed with shock revisions to the prior 2 months, heightening the impact of President Donald Trump's chaotic trade and economic policies on the nation. Trump's response was to fire the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, alleging that she had manipulated the data to make him look bad. Talk about shooting the messenger. Could you get a more Trumpian response? It is painfully obvious that the US government has an improper model for payroll calculations, said Michael Green, portfolio manager at Simplify Asset Management. If you don't have reliable data, then you make bad policy, something which I've been highlighting in an Australian context too. What's clear is that the big risk the markets have been happy to completely ignore has now moved into plain sight, as the signs of the labour market rolling over have been there for some time in the soft data, but now the hard data has confirmed them. And note, this is a Trump effect, not a panel effect. Monetary policy isn't what has changed so rapidly in such a short period of time. And the weak employment report coincided with manufacturing data that showed continued contraction. The Institute of Supply Management reported on Friday that the manufacturing PMI fell to 48 in July from 49 in June, marking the fifth straight month of contraction. Trump lashed out anew against Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, saying that he should be put out to pasture, and calling on the board to take control of the central bank and do what everyone knows what has to be done. Trump is demanding that the Fed slash rates, of course. Fed policymakers this week voted 9-2 to hold rates steady. The weak jobs data and prior adjustments cast the Fed's hold decision this week in a whole new light. Last year, remember, the Fed messed up by not cutting in July, so they did a catch-up cut at the next meeting. So the question is now, will they do the same thing this year? Market expectations are that the Fed will cut rates by at least 25 basis points at its September meeting, and that was at 86.5%, up from 37.7% in the prior session. Fed Reserve Bank of Atlanta President Raphael Bostic said on Friday that the employment numbers raise concerns about the risks to the job market and suggested the economy may be weakening more broadly. Speaking on CNBC, he called the latest job figures significant and noted that data revisions show a slowdown in a, quote, significant way. Yet average earnings and hours worked rose in July and the unemployment rate only inched up to 4.2%. That's effectively still full employment. If the bar to cutting rates is tied to the unemployment rate, it is still a high one. As Powell said this week, demand for jobs and supply of workers may still be in balance, though at a lower level, due to less inward migration and less demand for workers as firms adjust to the new tariff environment. The two dissenting governors, by the way, each appointed by Trump, issued statements on Friday saying their decisions reflected concerns about job market weakness, and they also said that they viewed the price impact from higher tariffs as merely temporary. Later in the trading day, the Fed also said that Governor Adriana Kugler will step down next week. Her term was set to expire early in 2026. That opens the door for Trump to appoint a new policymaker before the next policy meeting in middle of September. Some experts are warning that stripping the Fed of its independence sets up an economy primed for risk and debt, and at worst, a world where the dollar's safe haven crown could be lost forever as the debt supercycle grows ever bigger. While such policies can create a sustained period of above potential economic growth, it is at the expense of increasing long-term economic and financial market instability. With an administration bent on maximizing short-term growth, Uncle Sam could pivot sharply to short-term T-bills, ditching longer-dated treasuries to cut interest costs. But that move would be fraught with risk. Servicing costs would be tied dangerously to short-term rates, making US debt more volatile as the long end of the yield curve becomes less liquid and true cost savings may be exaggerated. Just this week, the Treasury bought back $2 billion worth of longer-term debt, replacing it with short-term bills as part of a transaction. Just hours before the tariff deadline on Friday, President Donald Trump signed an executive order imposing duties on US imports from countries including Canada, Brazil, India, and Taiwan in his latest round of levies as countries attempted to seek ways to reach better deals. The new list of tariff rates, while not as high as those announced in April, will saddle the US with an average effective tariff rate of about 17%. That's five times higher than it was at the start of the year. But the impact of this massive tax on the US consumer will still really take another 6 months from hitting with full force, though the jobs data does suggest that tariffs are already having an impact on the confidence of US businesses, who simply aren't feeling confident enough to hire in the way they were a year ago. In addition, sentiment was hurt by Trump's decision during the afternoon's trading session to ratchet tensions with Russia by repositioning two nuclear submarines in response to, quote, foolish and inflammatory statements by Russia's former president. Also weighing on equities was an 8.3% tumble in Amazon shares after the company posted quarterly results but failed to meet lofty expectations for its Amazon Web Services cloud computing unit. This followed a slew of strong AI-related results earlier in the week, but combined, it's a sobering reminder that the economic foundations supporting Wall Street's record highs this week may not be that strong. So while the US economy may still well be the best dirty shirt, it's still also pretty stinky. The global MSCI index dropped 1.32% on the day and was 2.5% lower across the week, though it's still up 21.2% from its April lows, and it's fallen for the past six consecutive sessions. The European Stoxx 600 fell 1.89% on Friday to be 2.57% down across the week, while the S&P 500 dropped 1.6% on Friday and suffered its biggest one-day daily percentage decline in more than 2 months to be down 2.36% for the week. The Dow was down 1.23% on the day and 2.92% for the week, while the Nasdaq dropped 2.24% on Friday to be 2.17% lower for the 5 days. The ASX 200 in Australia also fell, down 0.92% to be only 0.06% lower across the week. Sure, we've had a massive run-up in equity values since April of around 28%, but it is worth noting that the share of the MSCI World stocks trading above 10 times EV over sales has returned to the dot-com highs, while the S&P weighting of the top two holdings, namely at the moment Nvidia and Microsoft, make up a massive 15% of the index compared to 9.1% back in the year 2000, that's the year of the dot-com bust, when Microsoft and GE were the top two. Non-farm payrolls increased a less than expected 73,000 in July. Gains from the prior 2 months were revised down by more than 250,000, which means that in the last 3 months, job growth has averaged a mere 35,000. That's the worst since the pandemic. The trajectory of net job creation has therefore eased significantly. That data triggered a rethink on the economic outlook. The yield on the 10-year note plunged 16 basis points to 4.219% in New York, while the 2-year slipped to 3.684. That's a substantial fall. The stench of stagflation, the dreaded combination of slow net growth and high inflation, has been hanging over the US economy since April, when Trump shocked the world by announcing a suite of reciprocal tariffs on US trading partners that was beyond the worst fears of those in markets and politics. Our stagflation-light scenario is materializing as trade policy is driving uncertainty, which is choking hiring, said RBC. Stagflationary risks are on the rise, said Bank of America. Friday was a rough session for the Magnificent Seven, which had been running higher. Amazon shed 8.3%, Meta slid 3%. The sector shrugged off better than expected earnings from Apple and focused instead on a warning from the CEO, Tim Cook, that US tariffs could add $1.1 billion in costs over the period ahead. A Florida jury on Friday also found that Tesla was liable to pay $243 million to victims of a 2019 fatal crash of an autopilot-equipped Model S, a verdict that could encourage more legal action against Elon Musk's electric vehicle company. They will appeal the decision, though. Tesla fell 4.15% across the week. All seven ended the day lower. Maybe the AI revolution can muffle the sound of the US economy cracking and creaking, and stocks can keep rising, driven by the tech sector. But Friday was a reminder that while Wall Street can't pretend tariffs don't matter, the biggest tax hike on Americans in 90 years will have a real impact. US inflation data released on Thursday night showed monthly core personal consumption expenditure growth sitting at 2.8% year on year. That's higher than market expectations and much higher than the Federal Reserve's 2% target. US Commerce Department data showed prices for home furnishings and durable household equipment jumped 1.3% in June alone. That's the biggest gain since March 2022. There is, Macquarie strategist Victor Schertz notes, simply no evidence of exporters eating those higher tariffs. But the big hit for US consumers is still to come, as it takes around 92 days for the average product to make it from a Chinese factory to the shelves of a US Walmart store. So goods imported under the new tariff rates will only arrive in November. If you adjust for the fact that Christmas inventory is typically ordered early and the full force of tariff-related inflation won't hit until January or even February. With markets near record highs, the risk is that the tariffs that whack the US consumer will slow the economy and cause job losses, and it's simply not priced into the market at all. It's a reminder that a US president who has consistently advocated protectionist policies for decades now has the power to force higher costs on companies across complex global supply chains that took just as long to build. Just in the last 2 weeks of July, global companies have reported a combined loss of around $10.8 billion to $12 billion from tariffs. Automotive, aerospace, and pharmaceutical sectors were among the worst hit. Meanwhile, the volatility index closed up to 20.38, its highest close since June the 20th. Gold futures for December delivery was up 1.98% to $3,415.90 a troy ounce in a flight to safety. And elsewhere in commodities trading, crude oil for delivery in September fell 3% to $67.26 a barrel, while the October Brent oil contract fell 3.1% to $69.52 a barrel. The euro-US dollar was up 1.55% to 1.1588, while the US dollar-Japanese yen fell 2.28% to 147.41. The US dollar index futures was down 1.34% to 98.68. These currency movements indicate global investors are reassessing US economic strength and Federal Reserve policy trajectory in light of those disappointing employment numbers. In Europe, British stocks declined on Friday trade after President Donald Trump announced those fresh levies, while the pound rose against the dollar following the latest non-farm payroll data. The blue-chip FTSE 100 index dipped 0.7%, while the DAX index in Germany fell 2.5% and the CAC 40 in France dropped over 2.9%. US President Donald Trump's order imposing fresh tariffs on imports from dozens of countries included a 39% levy on Swiss goods. That sent shares of Watches of Switzerland Group PLC tumbling as much as 8.9% on Friday. The UK-listed luxury watch retailer which sells brands like Rolex, relies heavily on its high-margin US business, making it particularly vulnerable to the new trade measures. And elsewhere, the Bank of England is expected to soon slow the pace at which it shrinks its £558 billion holding of government bonds. And economists hope that next week will shed some light on its longer-term goals for the stockpile. Alongside a predicted quarter-point interest rate cut to 4%, the Bank of England's August 7th policy statement will assess the past year's quantitative tightening, or QT, before policymakers decide in September on the pace of bond sales for the following 12 months. Unlike other big central banks, the Bank of England's QT program involves bond auctions as well as letting existing holdings mature. Over the past year, it sold £13 billion worth of gilts and let £87 billion mature, keeping that up. The £100 billion pace for the next 12 months would require it to sell a record £51 billion, though, due to fewer redemptions. Despite four Bank of England rate cuts over the past year, the difference between 5- and 30-year gilt yields have doubled to 1.4 percentage points, and the 2-10-yield curve has steepened to 0.75 percentage points from near zero. So, higher costs ahead for those funds. Last week, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey said QT was not to blame for higher government borrowing costs. We do need to look, however, at the interaction of those yield curve movements with the QT programme and with market functioning and with monetary policy impact, he said. The Bank of England might focus more on shorter-dated gilt sales or even halt sales of gilts with a maturity of 20 years or longer, former monetary policy member Michael Sanders said recently. European equity funds came under selling pressure in the week through to July the 30th as a rally in regional stocks cooled, with investors growing cautious over the uncertain economic implications of the US-EU trade deal and signs of weakening corporate earnings. According to LSEG Lipper data, investors offloaded a net $41.14 billion worth of European funds in their largest weekly sale since at least 2018, but then scooped up funds worth in the US about $6.34 billion to end a two-week trend of net selling. They also added a net $3.05 billion worth into Asian funds. The European Central Bank this week moved the dial further in the direction of another on-hold decision next month. This week's trade deal doesn't change things drastically for the officials in Frankfurt, though at the margin it reduces the need to ease policy further. The fact that the euro has weakened in response to the deal helps the ECB too, at a time when officials were beginning to get visibly concerned about the euro-US dollar heading above $1.20. On a trade-weighted basis, the euro is still down this week, even after the dollar post-payment dive. Then there's the better-than-expected growth outlook, inflation at 2% and unemployment at an all-time low, all of which reinforces the idea that the ECB is in, quote, a good place. After a sharp outperformance by European stocks over Wall Street in March, the Stoxx 600 stands almost neck and neck with the S&P 500 rising 8.3% on a year-to-date basis compared to an 8.6% gain for the latter. European stocks also appear to have missed out on the big artificial intelligence wave that US stocks are surfing. Recall that the AI chip designer Nvidia this month became the first company to hit $4 trillion in market value. The German firm SAP is the most valuable European company with a market value of $306 billion. And Danish drug maker Novo Nordisk, a market heavyweight, shed about 25% of its stock value after it issued a profit warning on Tuesday. Asian stock markets traded mixed on Friday amid growing concerns over US trade tariffs ahead of a key deadline, while South Korean shares fell sharply after the government unveiled plans to raise taxes on corporations and stock investors. Investor sentiment was also shaped by a series of regional economic releases, including manufacturing activity surveys from China and Japan, South Korea's trade data, and Australia's second quarter producer price figures. Trump hit Taiwan with a tariff of 20% on Friday, higher than the 15% the US agreed with Japan and South Korea, though the government said it would continue to negotiate for a lower duty. Taiwan and South Korea are critical links in the supply chain of advanced logic chips and memory chips, respectively. Stocks in Asia Pacific's biggest tech hardware producers suffered the brunt of the selling, with South Korean KOSPI's index dropping as much as 3.8% and Taiwan's benchmark index down as much as 1.6% before recovering. Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company shed 1.7% as its supplier, Tokyo Electron shares plunged 18% after the company cut its profit forecast by a fifth. Japan's Nikkei 225 traded 0.4% lower, while the broader topics rose 0.4%. In Japan, the S&P 500 Global Survey revealed that Japan's manufacturing activity contracted in July, reversing the brief stabilization seen in June due to sluggish demand. China's markets were muted on Friday after sharp losses in the previous sessions. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.37%, while the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 traded down 0.51%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was down 1% on Friday. Fintech companies are rushing to raise equity in Hong Kong to fund expansions in cryptocurrencies, capitalizing on investor fervor as the city starts accepting applications for stablecoin issuer licenses on Friday. Hong Kong's stablecoin bill passed back in May, and it's taking effect on Friday as the Asian financial hub races the United States in setting up a regulated market for such tokens, which are seen as a key lubricant in the burgeoning digital economy. Hong Kong's de facto central bank cautioned, though, the public last week against growing frothiness and excessive exuberance due to the recent hype around stablecoins. An index tracking Hong Kong's listed stablecoin concept stocks surged 65% this year, far outperforming the benchmark Hang Seng Index, which was up roughly 23%. China's manufacturing sector unexpectedly shrank in July too, as a drop in export orders and weak domestic demand weighed. The S&P Global PMI data showed on Friday. Ongoing US-China negotiations remain the central variable for global risk sentiment. Morningstar's Lorraine Tan said markets may largely shrug off the latest round of tariffs unless they signal deterioration in US-China relations. In Seoul, the KOSPI index dropped more than 3% as the new finance ministry proposals revealed plans to increase both corporate income and investment taxes. The top corporate tax rate will rise from 24 to 25%, and all corporate tax brackets would increase by 1 percentage point. Meanwhile, South Korea's exports rose for a second month in July, driven by strong chip demand and front-loaded shipments ahead of US tariffs. The Australian share market finished the week little changed, as optimism from weaker local inflation was offset by escalating US trade tensions and rising American inflation in Friday's session. Data showed that producer prices rose below forecast in the second quarter, with annual price growth easing to its slowest pace in nearly 4 years. That kept bets alive for another rate cut by the RBA. The ASX 200 was down 0.92% to 8,662 on the close on Friday, after falling as much as 1% earlier in the day. For the week, the benchmark index fell 0.06% from 8,666.85 last Friday. HarbourVest Managing Director Scott Voss said the fallout from the latest US hikes was less severe than initially feared. Weaker sentiment dragged tech stocks down 2.4%, as Xero slid 3.2% to $125.19. Life360 lost 3.1% and WiseTech Global dropped 2.4%. The major banks also weighed on the market. CBA slid 1.6% to $175. National Australia Bank fell 1.3% to $38.41. And Westpac dropped 1%. ANZ gained 0.7% to $30.94, though. Iron ore stocks were mixed, as futures rose 0.8% to $100.6 a ton. Fortescue Metals gained 1.5% to $17.98. And BHP rose 0.1%, while Rio Tinto fell 0.7%. Mineral Resources bounced 4.4% to $29.86 after a 7.1% drop on Thursday. In corporate news, Star Entertainment slumped 16.4% to a record low 9.2 cents after the collapse of its Queen's Wharf sale to Hong Kong-based joint venture partners. The operator must now repay $41 million to its partners. ResMed jumped 1% to $4.88 after it beat fourth quarter earnings forecast due to strong demand for its sleep apnea devices and predicted higher than expected improvements in gross margins for the year ahead. Novonix reversed earlier gains to slump 4.4% as the battery materials maker scrapped plans to spin out its consolidated graphite assets through an IPO of Axon Graphite, citing unfavorable market conditions. The Aussie was at 64.7 cents to the US dollar and 48.72 cents to the UK pound. Yields eased across the board on Friday, with the 2-year at 3.301% and the 10-year at 4.223%. Rate cut expectations remain pretty firm at the moment. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin was last at $113,760, down across the week, while Ethereum also fell, down 2.58% to $3,482.90. So the next few weeks will continue to be set with volatility as the various forces in the markets play out. Given the high valuations supported by the AI trade, the question is now whether this will be sufficient to hold current market levels, or will the broader trade uncertainties win out? It's worth remembering that markets rarely go up and to the right in a straight line, and with market valuations stretched and the boom narrowly based, caution is needed. I'll be discussing all this and the latest trends on my Tuesday live show with Damien Klassen. So join us for that. And meanwhile, I suggest you buckle up. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.